with Jenna Ellis. This is the program where we take your questions on demand and do a deep dive and answer them. And today is all about Amendment 4 in Florida. There has been so much misinformation. And yes, I'm using that leftist term, misinformation, because sometimes it actually is misinformation that has been put out by the Soros camp, the leftists, the Democrats, the all of these people who are for state-funded abortion on demand, to try to get Florida voters to vote yes on Amendment 4. And by the way, there are these abortion regulation initiatives in at least 10 states on the ballot for November 5th. And so if you live in a state, whether it is Florida or one of the other states, you need to know about the text of the initiative on your ballot and what is the best way to vote your values. And there are other types of initiatives beyond abortion regulation on the ballot as well. Even more states have election integrity questions. Some states have school choice initiatives. And the text really matters. Like, for example, in my former home state of Colorado, Proposition 80 is a school choice initiative that would cement a right to quote-unquote quality education for kids in the state of Colorado. And now, while I am very much a school choice advocate, regular listeners who know me very well know that I was homeschooled all the way through K through 12, and I'm very glad that my family, living in Colorado at the time, had that option. And so while I think that the drafters of this particular initiative did not intend for this type of text to be a poison pill in that initiative, that's what it's become. And so you can only imagine how the Democrats and the left would try to litigate around that term if it is accepted as part of the state constitution there in Colorado, and try to define what quality education means and say, for example, that a child doesn't have access to a quality education if the teacher of a particular subject doesn't have at least a bachelor's or master's degree in the subject matter area. That would basically eliminate the right to homeschool and the right for parents to be the decision makers. And so when we're talking about the difference between children's rights and parents' rights, this is a very tricky subject, but it all comes down to these initiatives and the text. So no matter what state you live in, for everybody listening in the 50 states of the United States, and you're voting, make sure that you know not just the presidential, you know, Senate and statewide races and district races on your ballot, but know the ballot initiatives as well. And as Governor DeSantis said yesterday at an event that I was with him and his team at this event in Winter Garden, Florida yesterday, when he was talking about the dangers of Amendment 4, he very wisely said that if you don't know anything about the ballot initiative, your default response should be to vote no, because we are talking about changing the language in the state constitution. And while there's been a lot of discussion about the amendment process on the federal level and our U.S. Constitution, which has been amended 27 times in our nation's history, not all of those amendments have been great, by the way. Some of them I would love to repeal, like the 16th and 17th, for example, and maybe we'll do a deep dive on those in future weeks. But that's always something that needs to be taken very seriously. And the threshold for amending the U.S. Constitution in the one of the two ways in Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution makes it very, very difficult. You have to have a two-thirds majority of either the states at a convention of states, the state delegates, and also the states just getting to a convention of the states, or of the House and the Senate to even propose an amendment. And then once the proposals have gone through, then three-fourths of the states have to ratify those amendments. So it's very difficult. And that's actually a very good thing. Changing or even adding to our law, and much less the highest form of law in the country or the state, needs to be taken very, very seriously. And it should be very difficult so that it's not easy to pass these types of initiatives and amendments to our constitutions on the federal and state levels that's very easy and that voters can be misinformed and not really know what they're voting on. So if you don't know anything about an amendment in your state, or you're not really sure if you've gotten accurate information, or you maybe think you heard something and you're kind of looking to the summary and you're just, you know, don't wait until you get into the ballot box or until you're sitting there at your kitchen counter filling out your vote by mail, to just kind of go, well, I mean, I think this kind of sounds good, and I think I heard somebody on some network talking about it, so sure, I'll vote yes. If you don't know enough to know for sure that you want to vote yes, I think Governor DeSantis is correct that the default position should be no. We're not going to modify the highest law in the land of either the state or the federal level. So for all of these amendments that are proposed in the various states, make sure that you are informed. So Amendment 4 is very extreme. And this is, of course, the abortion amendment that is on the ballot in the state of Florida. And this is probably the most extreme of the amendments in the various states. And thankfully, Florida does have a very high threshold. It's a 60% majority vote that would have to vote yes in order for this to prevail. And there has been a barnstorming tour for Governor DeSantis across the state. Unfortunately, that was delayed a little bit by both of the hurricanes that have moved across the state in the last month. And he's back on this trail to say very clearly, vote no on Amendment 4. For the people who are TLDR, you can go to vote no on 4florida.com. Vote no on 4florida.com. It's the number 4. Vote no on 4florida.com. You can listen to that 2-minute video. But I think most of you are here because you want to do the deep dive and have a little bit more understanding of exactly what is involved here. And so I've talked to a few friends. I mean, and this is more anecdotal a little bit, but in terms of some of my friends who would say that they are pro-life, and yet they're okay with abortions in the first trimester, and actually think that the heartbeat bill is too extreme. And so, you know, so you're dealing, I think, with a wide variety of perspectives. It's not just pro-life, meaning life should be protected by the government from the moment of conception all the way till natural death. That's the pro-life stance, and certainly the Christian truthful stance. And then if you are pro-choice, that you would be okay with abortion all the way until the moment of birth. That's definitely not every pro-choicer. So you can't necessarily say, well, you know, looking at the composition of Florida and with the, you know, with the, what is it, 10 million new Republican voters across the state, that, oh, of course this is going to fail because Republicans mean pro-life. That's not actually true all the time. And what does pro-life actually mean? It's kind of like how you have to define, well, if I call myself a Christian, what does that actually mean? Because there are people who believe in God, but they're not actually following the theology that is a Christ follower and a Bible-believing Christian. So we have to define our terms. And that also is just another example of why defining your terms in the text of the amendment matters. And so what we're seeing across the state, though, is that there are various perspectives on the life issue and abortion regulation that a lot of voters are coming to the table with. And so even the voters who would say, well, I think that the current state of the law in Florida is too limited for abortions, and we want to change that. Governor DeSantis's position, which I agree with, is, okay, go to your state legislature. And legislation should be combated with new legislation. And we need to have these debates, have our legislative process work, and have a period where citizens can come and testify on various proposals. And we can make sure to fine tune and tweak that. Now, I'm a fan of our current Florida law, which is the heartbeat bill, that then does not allow for abortion after the detection of a fetal heartbeat, but does allow for exceptions, of course, life of the mother, but then also rape and incest. And so all of the misinformation suggesting that a woman who has an ectopic pregnancy, for example, or who comes into a hospital with a miscarriage already in progress can't get life-saving medical treatment is just absolutely false. And so the Florida Department of Health has actually done a really good job, and I would encourage everyone to go to their X page and follow that in combating a lot of this misinformation, because all that these advocates for extreme pro-choice are doing is fear-mongering. And it's so fascinating to me that the left on one hand says that a mother should have complete and total decision-making control over what happens to her baby in the womb, when other initiatives from the left are suggesting that if a child is two or three and wants to be called by a different gender, then custody rights can be removed from parents if they don't comply with that. And like in Colorado, that a child gets to determine for themselves, has a right to quality education. And so this whole idea of human rights and of rights of the child versus rights of the parent, it really is not a uniform standard, because as we know, most times the left is very hypocritical, and all they like to do is invoke either parental rights or children's rights when it serves their outcome and their purposes. And as conservatives, we need to do better than that. We need to know that God entrusted children the safeguarding of children and bringing them up in the way they should go to parents. And that entrustment should be protected by the government. And only when parents run afoul of very clearly defined, concrete, discrete rights that are given to the child, like bodily autonomy or intact bodies or a right to life, then we can talk about either punishment or even foreclosure of parental rights to the parent. That's why we have child abuse laws on the books already. That's why pro-lifers and conservatives say that children have a right to life and that parents cannot choose arbitrarily to override that fundamental right that a child has for whatever reason that they determine, especially when we know statistically so many abortions are just out of convenience, out of lifestyle choice, for economic reasons. I mean, nothing whatsoever to do with the woman's health or with the health of the child. So we need to be very clear about these distinctions. And I would really recommend to listeners to listen to Katie Faust's podcast here on the American Family Radio Network. You can click on podcast and you can look for her podcast, which is titled Them Before Us. And she makes really great arguments for rights of the child, but definitely walks that line in not saying that children have rights over and above their parents' decision-making. Governor DeSantis made the point yesterday as well, and some of the doctors that were there to say, you know, we don't as a society allow parents to make the decision, even, you know, in some instances to serve, you know, drugs or alcohol to their children. And some of these other decisions that a child might have, even a teenager, for example, to get a tattoo or, you know, some of these other things still require parental consent. And in some decision making, a parent can't just choose to say, sure, I'm going to allow my 12-year-old to drive. So there are some things that the government protects greater society from potential harm. But these are things that are very clear and discreet. Again, it's not just about arbitrarily saying that for convenience or, you know, any of these other economic factors or lifestyle decision making, that it should be the child overriding the parent's decision or the parents being able to choose harm for the child. So we need to be very clear about some of these arguments and what abortion actually is. The definition of abortion is an intentional medical intervention that is specifically designed to cause the death of a child. Okay, let me repeat that. Abortion is a medical, intentional medical intervention specifically designed to cause the death of a child. Because if you allow a pregnancy to continue without medical intervention specifically designed to terminate it, to stop it, to kill a child, termination of a pregnancy is when the child dies, then the child will grow and be born unless there is some other health reason that is a natural termination of a pregnancy, like unfortunately miscarriages. So never ever call a miscarriage an abortion. Is it the termination or the end of a pregnancy? Yes, but it is not a medical intervention specifically designed to cause that. An abortion specifically intends to kill a child. So where we're at right now, we talked about Florida's heartbeat law And now where Amendment 4 comes in and the textual issues with this amendment, the summary says this, and I'll just read this. No law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's healthcare provider. This amendment does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification to a parent or guardian before a minor has an abortion. So just reading that, a lot of people who are maybe squidgy pro-life or they're in the pro-choice camp, even, you know, within the first trimester or so, would read this and say, well, that's not bad, Jenna. I mean, you know, it's just saying that you shouldn't restrict abortion before viability. That's like, what, 12 to 15 weeks maybe? I mean, and again, see, you're seeing the problem with that already, that how do we define viability? And they're saying, or when necessary to protect the patient's health, that's life of the mother. What problem do you have with that? Well, let's get into this further. Because when it says no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability, viability is not defined. What are we actually talking about? Viability of a pregnancy really depends person to person, pregnancy to pregnancy. I mean, my cousin works in a NICU, by the way, and she has said to me, I mean, viability is totally dependent on so many factors. And so when do you know that a pregnancy is viable? You really don't until there are issues that require an early birth, and then the doctors do everything they can to keep that little baby that may only be 15, 20 weeks old alive and healthy. So when is viability? I mean, back in the medieval days and in the Middle Ages, viability was determined when a woman could actually feel the kicking of the child. That was called the quickening, was when, I mean, she knew she was pregnant mostly, but then when she actually felt the baby kick, that was, oh, this is now a pregnancy. That's the moment of quickening. And that, of course, is before all of the advancements in medical technology. That's also, of course, denying the fact that life begins at conception. And we know now that a fetal heartbeat can be detected well before a woman can feel the child kicking in her womb. So what actually defines viability? Well, from a scientific perspective, and, you know, aren't the Democrats like the party of science? Wouldn't they want to go with the science? Why is it that when a person outside the womb has a heartbeat, then we say they're still alive, even if there's brain death, even if there are so many other things that could be medically wrong with a person, if they still have a heartbeat, they are still living. And you have to take them off of some medical interventions designed to continue to keep them alive. But a heartbeat signifies life. And so why would a rational Democrat, and I realize sometimes that's an oxymoron, but why would a rational Democrat or leftist be opposed to a heartbeat bill when, according to medical standards, a heartbeat means life? Now, of course, as Christians, we know that life begins the moment of conception and that every life deserves protection from the government from the moment of conception. But a heartbeat bill is a really, really good, at least second bright line from that. And so when we're talking about viability in the context of Amendment 4 and some of these other amendments, viability is not defined and can absolutely be messed with, and it's very, very much not clear in terms of a legal standard. And so you could expect a lot of litigation around this. And why, by the way, are we leaving the interpretation of our state highest law of the land to litigants and judges? That should be the province of the legislature. I mean, there's a thing called the non-delegation clause of the U.S. Constitution that says that lawmaking is up to the legislature. And it's not even up to the governor, it's up to the legislature. And that's why he just signed the heartbeat bill that was passed by the legislature. And so when judges are going to have to define, or maybe not, and say, well, if the voters who passed this amendment wanted to define exactly what viability means, they would have done that in the amendment. And that's where I'm saying there are so many low information voters who maybe didn't even contemplate these types of things. And so they didn't know that they should have intended a definition, but a judge isn't going to substitute then his or her judgment for a lack of definition. And then we get into all kinds of problems. And the legislature can't come back and define terms in a constitutional amendment because the language is already in the amendment. So the legislature can't go back in and legislate to define these terms in most instances. So that's a really big problem. But this term or that comes after viability, this is also a big deal. So when it says no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability or, so now you can say, all right, viability doesn't even matter because this is an alternative scenario, or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's healthcare provider. So those two terms, necessary to protect patient's health and then as determined by the patient's healthcare provider. Well, what does patient's health mean? There's no definition for that in this amendment. What about the patient's healthcare provider? Again, no definitions. So a patient's health, what can that mean? Emotional health, spiritual well-being, economic well-being, worrying and anxiety over finances. I mean, all of these things theoretically could come under the broad banner of a patient's health. So when people come to you and they say, well, you know, protecting the patient's health, that means life of the mother. Ask them to show you where in this amendment it is clearly and discreetly defined as life of the mother, because it is not. The patient's health can absolutely mean mental health, all kinds of other so-called health-related factors. And so a healthcare provider also doesn't mean doctor. Governor DeSantis was saying that under the current definition of healthcare provider in other places in Florida law also includes massage therapists. So you can imagine if a patient is kind of uncomfortable and it's necessary for, and they're saying, I'm so nervous and, you know, all of these other economic factors that are going to my mental health, and their massage therapist says, yeah, you know, this would be really better, a lot better if you weren't pregnant anymore. And this is, you know, the 8th or 9th month of pregnancy, then the massage therapist could say, yeah, in my estimation, this is necessary to protect the patient's health. So now, great. You know, now this woman is eligible for an abortion under this amendment. That's how extreme and ridiculous this is. So the lack of definitions is the first overarching problem here. And I've had conversations with some friends who are more on the pro-choice scale and say and talk about how, you know, this is talking about viability. Viability is in this amendment. Well, point out that word or and say viability isn't even going to matter. This is going to be abortion on demand. Then going on, the summary says this amendment does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification to a parent or guardian before a minor has an abortion. As Governor DeSantis points out, notification is not the same as consent. It is not the same as consent. So under this amendment, if a minor, let's say God forbid, a 12, 14-year-old or even 16, 17-year-old goes to their school, and that healthcare provider, the school nurse, says, yeah, this is necessary to protect the patient's health, and it's and so eligible for an abortion, and the parent does not have to provide consent before the procedure happens. All that may happen is that before the procedure, a letter is sent in the mail, and 10 days after the abortion, a parent is notified. And that's fine under this law. So notification does not equal consent. This would remove parental consent, which again, when we're talking about the differences between children making decisions and parents making decisions, there's a reason why parents can override their children's decisions or wants in certain areas like medical decision making. I mean, even something as very minimally invasive as a tattoo. Parents can direct the health decisions of their children. And if a minor wants to get a gender reassignment surgery, a parent should be able to say no and override that decision for the minor. So this is hugely problematic. This is so extreme. And when we're talking about extreme, so many on the left just say, oh, well, that's because, you know, you're one of those faith-based Christians who doesn't like abortion at all. well, true, I am a faith-based Christian who doesn't like any abortions from the moment of conception all the way until natural birth. No, I think that abortion as a medical intervention specifically designed to cause the death of a child is murder. It is wrong. But that's not the only reason why I oppose Amendment 4. So when we're talking about extreme, we need to talk about how this is so vague that it would allow for taxpayer-funded abortions on demand, and the fact that it is so vague that it would allow for abortions on pain-capable babies up until the moment of birth. Even pro-choice voters know that that is extreme, and the stats show that somewhere in the neighborhood of 80% of even pro-choicers are opposed to late-term abortions. And yes, late-term abortions happen. My former home state of Colorado, there are virtually no restrictions on abortions, and that absolutely happens. So when we talk about extreme, don't necessarily only come from a faith-based perspective. If you're talking to another Christian who says that they're, you know, fine with abortions in the first trimester, well, then maybe you need to have a conversation about what in their faith and their view of God's truth allows for that position, and they're not being inconsistent. But if you're talking with somebody who doesn't really have a faith, or they don't necessarily care what the Bible says or the truth of the matter, then you can talk about how this is so extreme, even for somebody who otherwise is pro-choice. So again, go to votenoon4florida.com. And the last thing as well, a really great argument is to say, you know, listen, even if you agree with state-funded abortion on demand, is it possible that your opinion might change later down the road? And why would you want to foreclose your right to have the state legislature represent you and future Floridians in legislation? This should not be an amendment and a change to the state's constitution, but should be dealt with in the process, in the legislative process. So this is actually foreclosing voters' rights to put this kind of amendment in the constitution that is bypassing the legislative process through a citizens' initiative. And listen, you know, the left was smart on this, because while the pro-life movement went after heartbeat bills and, you know, got a lot of those signed, like in Florida, and we thought this is a win, this is great, the left is now going after the constitutional amendment, which is much, much, much more difficult to deal with and is even more permanent. I think there was a stat in Florida that the governor mentioned yesterday at this event that said that only one time in Florida's history has an amendment that's been passed been gone back and either been, you know, repealed or amended. I'm not sure exactly how much of that was fully repealed. But that's how hard it is. And that's why we need to vote no. And even for pro-choice voters, they should vote no for all of these reasons. It is too extreme. It is too vague. And it actually removes their right as a voter down the road. So encourage Floridians to get out and vote their values, and encourage everyone across the country to know these ballot initiatives that are on their ballots, know for sure what the language is, know what it would do in terms of amending the Constitution, know how they're going to vote. And if they don't, and somebody texts you and says, hey, you know, I'm about to head in and I don't know about the ballot initiatives, unless you know exactly how to tell them, just encourage them, hey, as a default, just vote no. As a default, because it should take more than just a casual, I don't know, at the ballot box to amend our highest law in each state. So with that, if you have before we get to Governor DeSantis's remarks, which I would love for you to listen to, take this, give this to friends, especially in Florida, but across all of the states that have abortion initiatives, or, you know, anywhere in any of the states, because everybody has ballot initiatives. I also want to encourage you, if you have an issue or a question that you would like us to cover here on demand, please email me and my team, Jenna@AFR.net, and tell us what you'd like to cover. Last week with the Electoral College, that came in from a number of listeners, and that was really encouraging. And we are going to have guests on the show as well. These are a couple of topics that I wanted to do just a deep dive in, because these are things that That I am very passionate about and in educating about. But we will have guests on the program as well. So if you have an idea and something that you want to hear on demand in a deep dive, email me and my team, Jenna@AFR.net. And with that, I want you to listen to the full remarks of Governor DeSantis from just one of these town halls, because he says this so well and gives you a lot of great information specifically about why to vote no on Amendment 4.
We have a number of doctors who are going to speak out against this proposed Amendment 4. And I think it's really, from a medical perspective, very powerful to hear from them, but it's also necessary to hear from them, because what's being proposed is absolutely insane when you drill down and understand the implications that's going to happen. And it's interesting because, this is an amendment. Anytime you're presented as a voter here with a constitutional amendment, your default should be no, right? Because you're changing the Constitution forever. It's a very significant step. So your default should be no, and they should have to prove to you why this would be something to add to the Constitution and basically make it a permanent part of Florida. Because once it's in the Constitution, the chance of it being changed is basically zero. And so you should insist on that standard, regardless of where you are on the underlying substantive issue that may be at play in a given amendment, in this case, right to life, but you have them for other things. And you should have, they have the burden to show why this would be something good. You know, there are sometimes amendments get proposed that say, you need two-thirds of the legislature to raise taxes, not just a simple majority. I'm for that. I think that's good policy. It protects taxpayers. But even if you're not 100% of voters, when they read that, they will know what they're voting on. You either require two-thirds of both houses, or it's a majority, and you vote yes, it's two-thirds, and the Florida voters have passed that. On this one, it's interesting because it's written with no definitions. It's intentionally vague and deceptive. And the people, you have tens of millions of dollars from out-of-state interests, very highly ideologically far-left interests, and the abortion industry, which wants to make money off this amendment if it passes, and they will make a lot of money off of it, unfortunately. They have not wanted to define these terms. And then they're running ads. Their whole campaign that they're running to say vote for it has nothing to do with the actual amendment. All they're doing is lying about Florida policies and laws about respecting life, both the life of the mother and health of the mother, of course, but also the life of the child. And so it's lie, 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 lie. Why aren't they happy about what their amendment would do? Why aren't they out there talking about what all these terms mean? Why aren't they out there running ads about what it would actually mean in practice? And I think the reason is because when people actually peel back the onion and see what it is, they don't like it. And it loses a lot of support the more people are informed about it. So what are some of the things that this amendment does? This amendment, if adopted, it would be the first amendment in the history of the state of Florida to actually repeal a right. It will repeal the right of a parent to have to provide consent before their child undergoes an abortion. Right now in Florida, we have parental consent, not just for abortion, but for anything involving medical with the minor. They can't give your kid an aspirin unless you consent. And that's the way it should be for parents. And yet, this amendment would permanently take this one issue and say the parents do not have the right to be in that decision-making process or to provide consent. So everything else would be parental consent except for this. And obviously, when you're talking about abortion, that's a major, major procedure to have to undergo. And of course, the parents need to have the right to provide that authorization just like they would on anything else. Now, what this amendment does, it gives a little bait and switch. So there's a provision on there that says, well, nothing in the amendment will infringe on the legislature's right to require parental notification. But that's not the same as consent. That's deliberate that they're doing that. Notification B, send a postcard. Parent knows this is happening, but the parent can't stop it. The parent doesn't have the authorization, is not required to provide authorization. So it is repealing the right of a parent to provide consent for the minor. Never been done before, and that would be in the Constitution, and that means you would never, as a parent, get that right back. We fought very hard to protect parents' rights in this state across the board. When it comes to medical, education, you name it, we want parents to be able to exercise those responsibilities. This would peel that back, and that's very, very troubling. And it's something that I know most people don't think is the right thing to do. And that's bad. But what's even worse is, because, you know, you have people, when you're talking about right to life, you know, there's some people that very much believe in right to life. There's some people that don't. They're just, that's not where they're at in terms of their worldview and their politics. And there are people that have been, you know, supportive of abortion, but they say, you know, it's not a good thing. They don't want a lot of it. They want it to be rare. But ultimately, they don't support legal protections for unborn, sometimes at any stage of the pregnancy, because they say it really should just be decided between the mother and the doctor. And you'll hear that a lot. It's interesting and actually very troubling that this amendment cuts doctors out. It says that an abortion can be green-lit all the way to the moment of birth by a, quote, health care provider. That's the term that they use. Well, health care provider is not the same as a licensed physician. Florida law has always required that licensed physicians be the ones to be involved and perform or not perform these procedures. Some of them are very, very high risk. There's a lot of complications that can happen, and they're saying healthcare provider. So you will have non-medical doctors doing this. I don't know that there's any other state that has ever gone down that road. So to displace the role that physicians have always played in the law, and this is permanent. When you do it in the Constitution, it's like, oh, well, you can just, the legislature can just change. You can't change once it's in the Constitution. So when it's in the Constitution, if it says healthcare provider, the legislature can't come in and pass a statute to say, well, actually, all that means, that only means licensed physicians. Because someone that's not a licensed physician that wants to open up an abortion clinic, they will sue and they will say, here's what the Constitution says. You know, I am a healthcare provider. I mean, you're going to have people that are clerks at Planned Parenthood. All these things can qualify. And there's no definition of that in the amendment. So this is a radical, radical change to actually displace the role of physicians when it comes to these procedures. I don't think very many people think that's possibly a good idea, especially people who advocate for abortion and always talk about the physician and the mother. This will green light abortions with physicians not even being involved at all. And that's very, very dangerous, and that's very, very bad. It's also very bad, this amendment if passed. It's going to end up being very bad for taxpayers. And the reason is they've done a similar thing in Michigan, similar language. Doesn't actually say anything about tax dollars when you do. Now, there's an impact statement on the ballot that says it's likely going to lead to less tax revenue, less growth, and may cause more expenses because of potential lawsuits that would require that. So it does alert the voter to that, but the actual text doesn't say anything about it. Well, what they did in Michigan, it passed, and then they went in and sued and said, under this constitutional provision, it's not, you have to, the government has to use tax dollars to fund these abortions. And so they're now trying to get, as a matter of constitutional adjudication in the courts, mandated taxpayer funding of abortions. And so that will happen here if it passes. They will beat a door to the courthouse, and they always find a liberal judge, and they will say, Your Honor, this requires that the taxpayers fund. And so that is likely to happen if this passes. So as a taxpayer, and again, there's people that are on different sides of right to life when it comes to this issue. I don't think very many people on either side want taxpayers to be forced to fund it. That is not right. And yet that is something that is a very real possibility. They are suing in Michigan to do this. Same groups are behind this. They will sue here in Florida if it passes. You also have a lack of definition. So what they say is that there's nothing you can do to prevent abortion through viability. They don't define what that means in there. I can tell you what they would push for it to be, would be you would be able to go in 6 months in for no reason at all and abort a baby. Fully formed, can feel pain, beating heart, you see on the ultrasound the image, and for no reason, nothing involving the life or health of the mother, that would be a constitutional right. And those abortions are dismemberment abortions where they actually have to rip the baby's limbs, limb from limb, and do it. And that would be a part of Florida's constitution mandating that that happen. And that's just the minimum that they would accept under that. But they don't define that for you because I think they know if they defined it the way they want it to be, that it would be very unpopular when people start to think about, well, wait a minute, that is, because I think most people on this pro-life or not do agree there needs to be some limit. You can't just have any time that there's no rights at all for that life. But here's the thing, that's an important debate to have. They didn't define it. I think it would mandate things that are very, very troubling for most people in this state. But in some respects, if you continue reading in the amendment, they provide an exception even to that, that effectively swallows the rule. Because what they say is that you can do an abortion if a healthcare provider decides it's necessary to protect the patient's health. Problem is, well, one, as we said, they don't define healthcare provider, and then they don't define patient's health. So what does that mean? Well, in Florida, there are exceptions for life and health, but the health is defined for things that, you know, because ultimately that's the primary patient that a doctor is going to attend to is the mother. So of course you're going to do things to treat. This, though, is so open-ended that it would basically allow a non-physician to green light an abortion all the way up until birth for basically any reason. Because with no definitions, they can figure out and say what they want to say. And that would make Florida one of the most radical abortion regimes, not just anywhere in the US, but anywhere in the world, if that were to be something that would be done. Because there are states, much as the media, they hate when you bring this up because they know it's bad. There are some of these states that do have abortion through 9 months. Colorado's one, Minnesota's another, and that can just be done. And there are late-term abortions that happen in this country. It's not the norm. It is a small percentage, but it's still tens of thousands a year nationwide, and the majority of those late-term abortions are purely for elective reasons. They are not for the life or major health of the mother. And people will, you know, some of these folks will acknowledge that. The media hates when you bring that up because it's really bad, but it is true. But even in those regimes that have that, I don't think they have it to where a physician can be displaced. I don't think they say healthcare provider can do this, even in states like Colorado and Minnesota, which are very, very extreme on that side. So I think Florida would probably stand alone if this were to pass, with just how crazy it would be, given that you're combining effectively no limits with allowing that to be done without physicians involved at all, not something you want in your constitution. And the thing is if you read the way it's written, it says, you know, nothing can delay or do anything to really put some structure to this process. And we have a lot of that in Florida, and most states do. Licensing and sanitation requirements, admitting privileges and proximity requirements so that to be near a hospital so that an admitted physician can provide immediate life-saving treatment if something goes wrong when performing an abortion. We have certain medical screening requirements. We have certain waiting periods. We have certain required in-person counseling. All these things would be tossed totally out the window. It'd be very difficult to regulate and provide some structure to this because anything you do would effectively cause a delay because you have to comply with these things. And one of the things that I think needs to be said too is we don't know what this would mean for babies that survive an abortion, but if you look, Minnesota, because this is an issue in this VP debate, they had, like Florida does, a requirement that if a baby survives an abortion attempt, that you provide life-saving treatment to the baby. And I've met, I mean, we've all probably met some of these folks who've survived abortions. They're great people, and yet they had there was a duty to care, so they were saved. Minnesota, they had a provision to repeal that, and they repealed it. So if somebody survives an abortion attempt, they do not in Minnesota. There's no duty to care to provide life-saving treatment. I think that's horrific that you would do that. That could potentially impact what is here in Amendment 4. So there's a lot in this that is not something that most people would find acceptable. And regardless of even what the opinion on it is, you know, these are things that are just flat out wrong to put in a constitution. It's not good policy. It doesn't reflect, I think, the values that people hold. And it's not something that's going to set this state up for success. Now, they are not talking about any of that, understandably. And so what they're doing is they're spending huge amounts of money to basically lie about Florida law and acting like somehow Florida law. So what they're running on are basically things that the law in Florida is not doing. And it's kind of just like this kabuki dance where they're saying this, but it's none of it's true. So therefore, vote for their amendment that they won't define as deceptive. No, it doesn't make sense. So here's where we are in Florida. Under Florida law that was enacted by the Florida legislature, abortions are permitted until a fetal heartbeat is detected. But abortions, there are exceptions when you have rape, incest, human trafficking, and of course when the child has a fatal fetal abnormality. And then, of course, a miscarriage is not an abortion. And so people have 100% right, you know, to have health care in those circumstances. And abortions, there's always exceptions to protect both the life and health of the mothers in the state of Florida. That's just the law. It's inconvenient for these folks that that's the law. They don't want that to be the law because they want to be able to run their messaging focusing on things that Florida law doesn't do, because if they couldn't do that, they'd have to actually defend what they're trying to do. But that is just the reality. And there's nothing in Florida law that would ever prevent any woman from receiving any type of life-saving treatment if the life is jeopardized by a pregnancy. In fact, it would be malpractice not to treat a woman if a physician did it. So some of these physicians go on these commercials and they say, Florida law prevents me from doing that. You are, if that's how you're behaving, you are committing medical malpractice. You will be subject to lawsuit, and you should lose your medical license, quite frankly. I mean, if you don't know the law, you're not fit to be practicing medicine in this state. So if any doctor out there tells you anything different, I'd encourage you to find a different doctor because the one you're getting is putting politics ahead of your health, and that is wrong to do. So we're really grateful to have all these great people here. You're going to hear from some of them about their views from a medical perspective on this proposed amendment. And just keep in mind all the things that they won't tell you about it, that if you drill down, you get to see it. None of those things are good, but if that does happen and it passes, you know, the chance of ever changing that or fixing the problems is basically zero. Constitutional amendment is different. You know, you can have the legislature pass legislation on any subject, and if you don't like it, you know, there's elections every 2 years. You know, you could put someone else in to do some of that. That's not what we're talking about with a constitutional amendment. It trumps any laws that would be passed by your elected representatives, and it would basically be permanent fixture of Florida going forward.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today on Demand. That was the remarks from Governor DeSantis in Winter Garden, Florida, earlier this week. I was very privileged to join the governor and his team for that event. And share this podcast. Make sure that you are voting no in all of these states that have abortion regulation amendments on the ballot. Make sure that you are informed. And if you have a topic that you would love for us to cover here on demand, email me and my team, Jenna at AFR.net.